We want to take a few more minutes today on our top story. Egypt convulsed by street protests, protesters facing the army. Egypt watchers say it's an historic moment, but we're not sure what it means. Will President Hosni Mubarak step down, give some concessions? Is it too late for that? The Obama administration is, of course, watching all of this closely. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, a close ally to the U.S. Here's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton speaking today.
We want to partner with the Egyptian people and their government to realize their aspirations to live in a democratic society that respects basic human rights. When I was recently in the region, I met with a wide range of civil society groups, and I heard from them about ideas they have that would improve their countries. The people of the Middle East, like people everywhere, are seeking a chance to contribute and to have a role in the decisions that will shape their lives. As I said in Doha, leaders need to respond to these aspirations and to help build that better future for all. They need to view civil society as their partner, not as a threat.
Hillary Clinton speaking on CNN, and you can hear the sounds of the streets of Cairo behind her. Let's bring in John Bussey, former Foreign Services editor for the Wall Street Journal, now the Washington bureau chief for the Journal. John, you heard Hillary Clinton's words. What do you expect is happening behind the scenes?
Well, you heard Hillary Clinton speaking very deliberately and very slowly, too. You had the sense that she wanted to make sure that anybody for whom English is a second language in the Mideast understood where the U.S. stood on this. And the U.S. is trying to position itself very carefully. I mean, it has relied on strongman rule in places like Egypt for some time. Egypt has been a critical ally of the United States. At the same time, it doesn't want to be on the wrong side of a populist movement, and it has been lately, especially over the last 24 hours, underscoring, President Obama did the same thing on a YouTube broadcast, that it is critical of cutting down on communications within the country and wants Mubarak to be talking to the opposition groups.
Well, earlier today we heard that Mubarak was going to come out and speak to the country after his curfew was instituted, but people ignored the curfew. He hasn't spoken yet, and it would seem there's no one for him to speak to. They're all out on the streets. Is it there a sense that it's too late for him to come out and say that he won't have his son take his place or that he will institute reforms?
Well, you do get that sense, don't you? And you get the sense also that we've seen this movie before in places like Central Europe, where there's a populist uprising and the authoritarian governments are simply caught out. At a certain point, once people feel enfranchised, once there's a sense that they have a power that they had not had before, it's very difficult to take that away from them. And so what the Obama administration doesn't want to have happen, and for other leaders around the world, is for Mubarak to crack down to the extent that you really have civil chaos in Egypt, the outcome of which is even more uncertain and perhaps more dangerous to the world.
Well, I want to ask our next guest, if you could just stay there for 1 second, John. I want to ask our next guest about something else that's been fascinating, which is, of course, the role of social media in all of this, including the release today of some WikiLeaks cables that seem to indicate a couple of things about the Egyptian military, including that the military maybe is in intellectual and social decline, but also not really in favor of this idea of Mubarak just instituting, you know, his son to follow him. Jillian York joins us again. She's with the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard. And Jillian, we'll ask John more about those WikiLeaks probably, but your sense of what social media is doing now, because we know that this country, Egypt, managed to cut off the entire internet today.
Right, yeah. I mean, right now, as we can see, there's only one ISP that's up and running, although some people do still have access to dial-up. And so a lot of the information that's coming out now on social media is actually coming from phone calls of, you know, people who've got contacts in Egypt who are then posting on Twitter. There's a great Twitter account right now, I think it's Gen25 Voices, that is aggregating that kind of information. And so, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people have been looking at this and saying, ah, look, it's another Twitter or Facebook revolution. And so what happens then when those tools are cut off. And what I would say is that we're seeing it. People are still out. People are still demonstrating without those tools.
Well, Jillian, we're also wondering that when cell phones were cut off, internet was cut off, we were speculating how we'd feel if we were cut off like that. The first thing you might do is go to the streets to find out what's going on.
Right, right, exactly.
So it might have had the opposite effect. Stay there, Jillian. John Bussey, I mentioned the role of WikiLeaks in this cable that came out today. Your sense of, that, first of all, it's characterization of the military as one that might go with the people instead of the government.
Well, this has always been the question. What will happen once things get hot? And it's always the question when you have an authoritarian regime anywhere. Does the military stay with the authoritarian regime believing that it has legs, that it has traction, and that the military will be safe with that regime? Or does it see an affinity with a very different power group in Egypt? What happens with the military? Do they stay in the barracks? Do they come out of the barracks? Do they continue to defend the administration? Will be key. Your focus on the internet and public media is critical. This is, once again, an example of how empowerment works. Once you have it, you never want to let it go, even if it's cut off. I think that you're right. The expression will take a different form. People will be out in the streets.
John Bussey of The Wall Street Journal and Jillian York of Harvard's Berkman Center. We spoke to you yesterday about how Facebook was able to end run both the Tunisian and the Egyptian government and put people on another server so that they could use Facebook. Is there any way that Facebook can end run what the Egyptian government has done today?
As far as I'm aware, no, there's not much that they can do at this point. I mean, aside from those few users who are still online through that one ISP that's connected, as far as I'm aware, there's really nothing.
And we've been watching this all day on Al Jazeera English Live. We'll link you at herenow.org. But Jillian, tell us again the Twitter address.
I believe it's Jan 25 Voices, so as in January, J-A-N 25 Voices.
Okay.
Global Voices also is aggregating content from blogs, from Twitter, as well as now from phone calls, which we've realized, are an incredibly important form of social media when the internet is disconnected.
Yeah, the landline. Guess what? Jillian York of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. I'm sure we'll keep in touch with you over the next coming days. Thank you.
Thank you.
John Bussey, I've got 30 seconds. I'm going to put you on the spot. Where do you think this goes?
Well, if you had to bet on the information age or an authoritarian country and an authoritarian regime, I think we all know where we would put our bets these days, on the creativity of people to communicate these days and the technology being available for that to happen. I don't think that you can cut off a demonstration and a public revolt as easily as just shutting down the cell phone line.
This is not Tiananmen Square, perhaps. John Bussey, a Washington bureau chief for The Wall Street Journal, thank you so much. Back in a minute, here and now.